The Seleucid Empire, 358 BC to 63 BC. Antiochus III, Antiochus the Great, Part 2, his wars. Antiochus III's military campaigns. His campaigns of 219 BC and 218 BC moved the Seleucid army almost to Egypt. But in 217 BC, Ptolemy IV defeated Antiochus at the Battle of Raphia, nullified all of the Seleucid gains of the previous 2 years, and forced a withdrawal of the Seleucid army to the area north of Lebanon. But Antiochus III didn't lose any of his Seleucid territory, just lost everything he gained. 216 BC, it was time to move into western Anatolia to suppress the local rebellion led by Antiochus's cousin, Aetius. By 214 BC, Antiochus had driven Aetius to Sardis, where he was captured and executed. But the citadel of Sardis held out until 213 BC, under the command of Aetius's wife, or widow, another Laodice. Ultimately, she was forced to surrender. Now that Antiochus III had retaken Central Asia Minor, he was willing to put up with dynasties in Bithynia, Cappadocia, and Pergamum. This accommodation, for the time being, allowed Antiochus III to turn to the north and east and recover some outlying provinces. In 212 BC, the king of Armenia, Xerxes, was forced to acknowledge Antiochus as his supreme lord. In 209 BC, the Seleucid army invaded Parthia. They occupied the capital of Hectopolis, and they also moved toward Hyrcania. At this time, the Parthian king, Arses II, successfully sued for peace. The campaign of 209 BC also included a march into Bactria. This area, which had broken away to become Greco-Bactria, was led by King Euthydemus I, who had defeated the original rebel. Again, Antiochus III was successful, defeating the Greco-Bactrians at the Battle of Aras, but Euthydemus I held out against the siege of his capital at Bactra. This allowed him to salvage an honorable peace treaty. He recognized Antiochus III as being supreme, but he maintained his king status, and one of Antiochus III's daughter married him, married his son, Demetrius. Antiochus' next campaign crossed into the Kabul Valley, marching to the edge of the Indian king Septaganus' kingdom. There he renewed the friendship, received more elephants, 150 are now in his army. He reprovisioned his army, and the treasure given by the Indian king would be brought back later by Androsthenes of Cyzicus. This is exactly kind of a tough round of people to pronounce this time. Antiochus III's army now returned west by way of Sistan and Kerman, 205-206 BC. Once back on the banks of the Tigris, the Seleucid army made a short expedition down the Persian Gulf against Gehenna along the Arabian coast. That's 205 to 204 BC. At this point, Antiochus III appears to have restored the Seleucid Empire in the east, which earned him the title of Antiochus Megas, the Great. Then, with the death of Ptolemy IV, 205-204 BC, and the enthroning of his infant son as pharaoh, Ptolemy V, Epiphanes, Antiochus decided, of course, it's time once again to try and take back Egypt and break up the Ptolemaic possessions. He had a secret treaty with Philip V of Macedonia. He would get Cyrene and the Aegean Sea possessions of Egypt. There would be a partition of Ptolemaic possessions, Cyprus, and Egypt. In 199 BC, the Seleucid forces took over Colle Syria and Phoenicia. But later, Scopas, the Anatolian, recovered those territories briefly. In 198 BC, at the Battle of Panium, which was near the source of the Jordan River, Antiochus III defeated Scopas, ending the Ptolemaic rule in Judea. Antiochus III was at his military peak. He next moved into Asia Minor by land and sea, securing the coast towns and the independent Greek cities. But Smyrna and Lampsacus appealed for help from the Roman government. Rome was claiming to be the defender of Greek freedom. In 196 BC, with Antiochus establishing a foothold in Thrace, tensions grew. Then Rome baited Antiochus III by evacuating Greece. The vacuum of power that was left was too much for Antiochus to resist. In 192 BC, Antiochus III invaded Greece with 10,000 men and was elected commander-in-chief of the Aetolian League. Hannibal Barca was now advising Antiochus, but not with much success. Hannibal warned that the Romans would be formidable enemies, and sure enough, the Romans returned under Manius Galbraeus, who defeated the Seleucid Aetolian army at Thermopylae, which forced Antiochus to abandon Greece. The Romans now invaded Anatolia. Hannibal's last battle was actually a naval defeat at Capeside, being hit by a Roman and Rhodian set of fleets as he tried to bring the Seleucid naval reinforcements to Ephesus. Hannibal was not in command when Antiochus' army was crushed at the Battle of Magnesia in 190 BC. The war ended with the Treaty of Apamea in 188 BC. The Seleucids abandoned all the territory north and west of the Taurus Mountains. The Romans gave most of the land to Rhodes or Pergamum, and most of the Greek states were left free. The defeat by the Romans led once again to Antiochus' outlying provinces that he had spent years recovering to once again declare independence. Antiochus III died on campaign in Lauriston, dying while pillaging a temple of Baal at Elymas in Persia in 187 BC. His oldest son, Seleucus IV, Philopater, would then take over the now declining Seleucid Empire. Now the sources for this, The House of Seleucus by Bevan, The Land of the Elephant King by Cosman, and The Seleucid Army by Bar Kova. So I hope you enjoyed that. And as always, don't forget to come by the new website, historyaccordingtobob.com or sumahistorica.com. Ask a question, leave a comment, check out the CDs. If you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.